quite simple, really. Great stories with a good cup of tea. It's the Tea with Mike show.
Joining me for this conversation was my friend Isaac Mashman. Me and Isaac met through Twitter. Isaac's a business owner and music manager, and he runs his own podcast. He's played an important part in my journey to this point through advice and mentorship. So the themes of the show include mentorship, humility, and vulnerability. So grab a cup of tea and a notepad and a pen and take notes and enjoy.
Welcome to another episode of Tea with Mike. Joining me for this one is Isaac Mashman, who's a business owner and music manager, and he's also the host of his own podcast. So Isaac, welcome to Tea with Mike.
Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. So let's just jump right into the show. Do you want to start by telling everyone a little bit about some of the things you do?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, thank you for, you know, having me on, like I said, and the introduction. So I'm a business owner, originally from Jacksonville, Florida, living in Bakersfield, California right now, moved back here in February. Over the past couple of years, you know, I've had my introduction to business. I first got introduced to entrepreneurship and business back in 2017 as a senior in high school. And I don't know, I was actually like one of the first people on Tea with Mike. So this has been what, a year? Year since
so over a year, but it's quite an interesting journey, because of course the first episodes 1 to 12, when I was kind of discovering how I wanted to record the show and a little bit on the production side, so like almost they were like trial episodes, and I started at episode like 13 on my website. So this is really exciting that we're doing this, I guess, more formally after all the trial and error.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I mean, I work in the music industry right now. You know, I saw that there was a ton of different entrepreneurs doing the same exact thing. Everyone was going and, you know, doing social media management. You know, they're like, okay, this is how you get your Instagram going. Go ahead and, you know, buy followers here. Go ahead and do, you know, media work for X, Y, and Z company. And, you know, I just got so sick and tired of being in that space. And I recognize, you know, that I've always had the entrepreneurial blood in me. You know, when I was younger, I was in middle school doing entrepreneurial things. And so after kind of fooling around, trying to find my footing for, you know, nearly 2 years, I finally recognized that there was a big, big gap in the marketplace when it came to music, you know, people in the music industry. I was like, you know, there are millions, well, maybe not millions, but hundreds of thousands of different people trying to be an artist, trying to get their music heard, but you go to their Instagram page and you don't even know that they make music, yet they're trying to make music. And yeah, I was like, man, there is such a big gap. And that to me was an opportunity. You know, I was like, okay, well, where everyone else is going, I'm gonna go in the opposite direction and fill in the market gap. And so I'm the owner of Mashman Ventures. That's a diversified media and entertainment company. And I also manage a brilliantly talented artist, Diggy Dirk, based out of Indiana, who I've been connected with and managing since December. And he started out as a client of mine. I have a couple other things going on too behind the scenes that I haven't brought out at the public, but yeah, I'm an all around, you know, entrepreneur. And then what I do with, you know, when it comes to media work is I just help artists have a good brand and look professional.
Awesome, man. So let's take it back a little bit. Mm-hmm. So we're going back to 2017. You're in high school, and like your bio said, it was kind of a business class that got you your brain ticking down this path. So do you want to talk a little bit about that and how the word and even the concept of business entered your vocabulary?
Yeah, well, I was going through a really, really hectic time in life, a very confusing time. I entered my senior year in high school, and some people were looking at colleges to go to. I was doing the same. I was looking to colleges, and up until that point in my life, every single thing pointed to school, pointed to college.
Which is quite a traditional path to take, and it's all they kind of teach you too.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. A very, very traditional path. And I basically fell in love with the idea of having my own business and having financial freedom. And I saw another kid at the time, he was 18 years old. I was 17 at the time, so he was a little bit older than me, but I saw a lot of myself in him, and he was doing a clothing line. He was doing drop shipping. He had a lawn service. And I actually haven't talked to him for 3 years, but he had such a pivotal role in my story that I really haven't talked about too much. And, you know, his name was RJ Rogers. And I saw this and I was like, man, this kid is doing all of these great things while also going to school. Why don't I do the same thing? And, you know, amidst everything that was going on, family issues, I, you know, got started with a clothing line at the time. Nothing was legal. Nothing was official, but it was dropshipping. It was on this website called Teespring, and it was called Success Before Rest Apparel. And, man, I just kind of got into that whole hustle mindset, that whole, you know, I'm going to go ahead and hustle. And, man, you know, I've come a long way since then. But the beginning of 2018, I was still a senior in high school. You know, classes were going good. I was only taking like 4 classes that year, and I got introduced to the industry of network marketing. And network marketing is a fantastic industry for you to be your own business owner, for you to be, you know, in, you know, be a business owner really without having to go through all the legal paperwork and all that crap that I've since discovered is very tedious. And man, I saw that there were a lot of people who were young achieving some massive levels of success. 22-year-olds living in penthouses, $10,000 a month. And it was never, you know, it was never about the money, but it was about the money. It wasn't so, oh, so I can flash the Lamborghini and flash the Vuitton and all the design. Don't get me wrong, I like nice things. I love nice things, but it was more so I grew up watching my mom struggle. I grew up watching her work working a full-time job my entire childhood. And then she goes back to school to get her master's degree, doing that full-time, working full-time, and I saw that, and I was like, entrepreneurship would be the way that I could go and retire her and be able to help out my other family. I come from very humble beginnings, and since then, I mean, it's just been one crazy, crazy journey.
Awesome, man. And then, so, obviously, you've got that. Was it just this one individual, or were there any teachers that influenced your decision not to follow the 99%? Was you in that early phase of the decision-making process?
Oh, absolutely. Now, I probably sound like every other guy on the internet right now with who I'm about to say, but Gary Vee. I fell in love with Gary Vee before. He was popular at the time, don't get me wrong, but I saw what he was doing to build up a brand and build up brand awareness. And I feel like there are different levels to getting into entrepreneurship for the internet person just starting out. You know, Gary Vee's like the introduction of like the elementary school. This is what you do. This is what I'm about. This is kind of the mindset, the basics of mindset. And so he was really, really pivotal, especially when it came to building up my brand. A lot of what I did in the early days, I mimicked from Gary Vee. He said that he got on Twitter first. My biggest audience is on Twitter for a reason, because I went to Twitter and Gary Vee was on there and I was like, I'm gonna do the same thing. And it worked. You know, what he did is duplicatable. And Gary, I was sitting in, you know, class, and I would just be watching Gary Vee videos nonstop, like all day. And like I mentioned, I only had 4 classes. And I would sit in the library for the rest of the day. I didn't have a car, so I couldn't drive home. And, you know, I was taking the bus to school every day. So I was in the library for 3-4 periods a day. And I was just watching Gary Vee videos and then working on a podcast. I started up a podcast back in February, and boy, was that. It was called the Isaac Mashman Show, but looking back, man, I don't know what I was doing. I was sitting there, you know, on a bootleg plugin in my school computer on Audacity. I downloaded a USB version of Audacity, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna adjust this thing. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm gonna cut out this little breath, and then I'm gonna add this, and then yeah, man. And I was just, you know, figuring it out as I went. Didn't have a lot of guidance, and you know, thankfully I got involved with network marketing. I never saw massive success, and that was my own fault. I wasn't ready for it. I was lazy. I didn't put in the work. And, you know, that's the thing. I take full credit for not achieving all of the goals that I set out to do, because I believe in full ownership. You know, instead of blaming everyone else for what is going wrong in your life, I would much rather blame myself, because in the end, it's you who are in control of your responses and control of your actions. And, from Gary Vee, I got involved with, you know, the mentors of the company. You know, one of them was Alex Morton, less than 30 years old, making $30+ million. And I was like, that sounds pretty nice. So I studied him. You know, I believe in studying the people who have what you want in life, you know, and so that was big. And then eventually Andy Frisella. And Andy Frisella has really been pivotal in establishing my mindset. He had a podcast called the MFCEO Project. I don't know if you've heard of that. And
no.
He's a very down-to-earth guy, cusses a lot, very alpha male material. And so, yeah, man, the rest is history.
Cool. And then so obviously I'm presuming as some of these like early adventures that you set down, like kind of help shape the direction that you're hoping to go in.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Although at the time I didn't have necessarily a full understanding of what I wanted out of life, and that's something that I've only recently started to figure out. I had a sense of direction and that I wanted to become financially free. I wanted to get to the point where I could fly anywhere in the world, whenever I want, wherever I want, with whomever I want. And I know that that's what a lot of people say, but I believe in freedom. I believe that, you know, we have one life to live, so why not live it to the max, and why not make the most and see all the different all the different places. You know, I flew to France for the first time back in October of 2019. First person in my family who's ever traveled internationally in my immediate family. And I saw that as a huge win and as a huge accomplishment, because I found that there's a whole world to discover.
Lots of cool places around the world.
Absolutely. And then from then, from there, I just kind of started filling in the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle. I started with an empty jigsaw puzzle that I had kind of the picture of, but I was missing the pieces. And those pieces I found through experience and through trial and error and ups and downs and, you know, going through and making a bunch of dumb decisions and dumb mistakes. And it's got me, you know, I don't want to say to where I'm at right now, because I'm not in some position of massive success, but the experience is the success, I would believe. The knowledge that I've accumulated, the different, you know, tools, you know, I feel comfortable to where if I was put anywhere in the world where business is necessary, although it's not my first choice, I could help a business get results through social media. And that in of itself is a $1 million skill set.
Awesome. So you kind of touched on it a little bit. So when you're thinking about the direction that you want to go in and some goals that you're trying to achieve, like how do you go about taking a goal from a piece of paper to a reality or something that you're working towards? Mm-hmm. Are you quite visual? Do you map it out on mind maps, et cetera, or do you have a different process?
Yeah, goal setting is something that I'm actually putting a lot of emphasis on in my life right now. I've never been good at goal setting, never. And goal setting is one of the, you know, keys to success that all these people speak about. See, I'm a down to earth guy to where it's like, I'm okay being transparent. I'm okay talking about my failures and talking about my losses and talking about the things that I need to improve in, you know? I'm like, we're human. And so I feel like by being transparent and being authentic, you're able to connect with people a little bit more, you know? But when it comes to goals, I'm big on visualization. I'm big on seeing what I want. For example, you know, like if I want to be speaking on stages, what am I going to do? I'm going to see other people speak on stages. I'm going to watch videos of people in front of thousands and thousands of people. I'm going to, you know, look and do an apartment tour of that dream condominium I have in Miami. You know, I'm going to watch those things. But when it comes to goal setting, I have a way that I set goals. I act as if it is already done. Now, that references the law of attraction. I'm not some like spiritual guru type of guy, but I do believe in the power of manifestation, in the sense of if you feel positive, you're going to do more. If you feel negative, you're not going to act at all. If you feel negative, you're not going to get results. You're not going to achieve results, because you won't feel like you're ready to go out and conquer the world. But if you feel positive, then you're going to act positive. And so, you know, I write my goals, and I am so happy and grateful now that fill in the blank, whatever the goal is.
And then is that something that you do daily, or just when you need a little bit of a kind of a boost because something hasn't quite gone as planned?
Every day. Okay. And that's something that I've recently gotten really good at. I don't want to say perfect at, but good at over the past month, going on 2 months, is I started up a program because I noticed that there was a big gap in my life. There was a big gap. It's like I knew what I needed to do, but I wasn't doing anything. And to know and not to do means you don't know, because you're not acting. Think about that. To know and not to do is not to know.
Very true.
A little bit of a tongue twister, but it's accurate. And I didn't know anything because I wasn't doing anything. And I started up a program called the Live Without Limitations program. And I'm not going to talk about that for too long, but the entire point of the program is to become the very best version of yourself, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. You know, we have one life to live, we're in one body, and we have one shot at this. And it's like we all have an idea of what we should be doing every day, but we aren't doing it. Why? because we don't have habits. We don't have rituals established. We don't have a routine established. And I was like, I need to start establishing a routine, you know, and the power of the compound is huge. The compound effect, you know, started going on walks for 30 minutes a day. And at the end of the month, it added up to 50 plus miles, you know, those things that add up over time. And so when it comes
consistency,
to
consistency, right?
Same thing, consistency, right? The one thing that a lot of people need to work on, and I myself need to work on.
So when you're going out for, we'll just take going out walking every day as the example, because you just talked about it. Do you just go walking with no noise and appreciate the nature and the environment around you and use it as a self-care tool? Or are you trying to multitask, like maybe listening to a podcast at the same time?
Multitask. Now, what I do is I listen to audios every single time I walk. And I've listened to, I believe in the repetition of information, right? 85% of all what we hear on a daily basis goes in one ear, right out the other. We're going to forget 85% of everything we heard today. But that's why the repetition of information is big, because you're getting this information imprinted in your brain. You're getting this information imprinted in your mind. And so I'm big on listening to audios when I walk. So sometimes I will, you know, just appreciate the surroundings and stuff, but I'm big on appreciating nature, of like actually getting in the woods and getting in, you know, for the parks and stuff like that. I don't have any parks around me right now, so I just walk in the neighborhood. And what I'll do is I'll listen to an audio, and then I'll also think, you know, I'll think about, you know, what I'm doing in life and kind of imprint, you know, I'm very big on having direction. I want to know what I'm doing, why I'm doing it. And so I'll, you know, think about these things and kind of use it as a time to meditate, use it as a time to listen to personal development. And then I'm also getting exercise in. So I'm killing two birds with one stone.
Awesome. And then so earlier on in the show, and when you were starting to talk about some of your early adventures at the Isaac Mashman show and how you used Audacity, which is pretty cool, from the school library. So how did that experience with the Isaac Mashman show over time evolve into Chase the Vision podcast?
It made me comfortable with myself. I used to hate my voice. I don't think I've ever spoken about this on a public podcast, so this is like exclusive information. But I used to go to speech class in elementary school. I was not able to articulate my thoughts. I was always, you know, it's like there is a time actually that my mom told me that people used, like the teachers when I was first starting out used to think that I had some like learning impairment, but that wasn't the case. It's just I wasn't able to articulate what I was thinking. And so I had to go to speech class literally every single week, multiple times a week, up until the time I was in the fifth grade. And because of that, I always was very conscious. I was a very self-conscious individual. I was, you know, there is a time where I was bullied in middle school, being a little chubby, you know, and so I was a very self-conscious guy. And you know, doing that podcast, I remember the exact day that I was recording that podcast too. I was in my room and it was a 4-minute episode. I had no idea what I was doing. I was like, so guys, this is the Isaac Mashman show. It's super awkward. I wasn't confident. And I remember listening through my podcast multiple times. And I would say, I would have a pause and I would beat myself up over that. I recorded the same thing over and over and I would delete it every single time because I had one mistake. And doing that podcast, I did 20 episodes of that show, but it made me comfortable with who I was. And fast forward, I recognized that one of my God-given gifts is speaking. It's kind of ironic how I had it. I started out with a speech impairment, and now fast forward, my voice is my most powerful gift. And now I saw that, you know, I stopped that podcast. It was actually managed by a now friend of mine, but we went through a little bit of a fallout. I didn't have access to my show, and I was like, I'm going to kill it. And I started up another podcast in June of last year after a friend of mine encouraged me. She was doing her own show, and she never did her own show, actually. And I was like, well, if you're going to have a podcast, then I'm going to start up my own podcast. And it's kind of funny because she never started up her own. But now I did the Hustler's Choice podcast, you know, still in that big hustle mind state, big grind. And then I did a pivot and got out of that space. And now it's Chase the Vision with Isaac Mashman, which I think is a lot more powerful.
Oh, and with the current podcast, what are some of the goals and what's the real purpose behind it? Because as we've discovered through your story so far, there's been a few shifts in direction.
Yeah, everything that I'm doing in my life right now ties in with my major purpose in life. You know, some people have a theological purpose in relation to religion, which I do have that purpose, but it's also a manly purpose, a purpose of why am I alive? And I believe that we're all able to decide what that purpose is. And that's the power of being humans, because we're able to create, see, going back to kind of the law of attraction, but we're literally able to create what we're doing. And so my purpose in life is to help other people recognize, respect, and act on their own potential and dreams while becoming the very best version of themselves. It's a little bit of a tongue twister, but I use my podcast as a platform to give permission to these people to chase after their dream and vision. See, I didn't know what I was chasing after to begin with. And then I just went out, and I'm a huge risk taker. I was like, I flew out to California on the whim. You know, I did a whole bunch. I flew over to France on a one-way ticket. Like, I've done a whole bunch of different things off of taking major risk, because I know that the reward that I will get will be huge. It'll be monumental. You know, it'll be experience. And I also have faith in myself that no matter what happens, I'm going to be able to adapt to it. And so some people, unfortunately, don't have that same self-confidence. Sometimes they need an extra push. They need an extra shove. And that is what I'm using my podcast for. It's a platform to give these people permission to give themselves permission, right? If you don't give yourself permission to do something, or don't give yourself permission to heal from a past trauma, you'll never be able to get past it.
That's true. And then unfortunately you'll live a life full of stuff that you wanted to regret, I guess, is the word I'm looking for.
And regret is the one thing that I don't want to look back with. And I know I've seen so many people in my life, they spend more time talking about their past than talking about their future. More time focusing on past memories than creating new memories. You know, you have that analogy of, you know, a 40-year-old dude sitting around, especially in America, you know, watching a football game, drinking beer, and talking about high school. Why not talk about what we're about to do today? You know, I have a very close friend of mine, Kevin McDonald, and I'm going to do an interview with him in the next year or two, and he's going to talk about how I used to be in high school, and people are going to be like, whoa, how did Isaac used to be?
Oh,
like that?
That's cool. That's a cool piece of content.
Yeah, it'll be amazing. And, you know, him and I have a lot of great memories. We've done a lot of amazing things, but something that I've expressed to him, I was like, Kevin, I don't want to be that 40-year-old dude talking about what we did in high school. It's good to reflect here and there and you'd be like, wow, yeah, we had a great time, but I want to go out and do some more crazy stuff. I want to go out and travel. I want to do some adventures, you know? And that's what I'm really big on, man, because I've seen so many people in my life and, you know, this, I want to talk about this really quick, and I'm not trying to take over the conversation by no means, but I watched everyone in my life become stagnant. They became comfortable with where they were at, but they weren't even comfortable. They were comfortable in their discomfort. They hated their situations, but they didn't want it. They didn't want to change them. So they would just stop. They would stop. They became comfortable in their discomfort. And I recognized that the key to happiness and the key to joy and the key to living a very fulfilled life is never stopping. Never stopping. It's being in this constant state of growth. My new phrase, you know, I started up that clothing line, Success Before Rest. You got connected when I was still using that. You know, we've been connected for going on 2 years now, and I always say success before rest. Success before rest. And I was like, that doesn't line up with who I am. Live without limitations. And the entire point of live without limitations is to never stop growing, to never reach that point of stagnance. And if you continuously grow, that means that there's no limit to what you can achieve.
Yeah. Yes, because when we became connected to Twitter, which, what, 2 years ago now?
Yeah, you were one of the first people I got connected with.
Oh, and then back then, I didn't really have an idea what I was doing. I remember that you were tweeting a lot of motivational type stuff, and then it's been interesting to watch a little bit closer how you've shifted the direction of your social media and stuff to become just a part of the brands that you're building, versus being the one out and out tactic, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
It's more of a lifestyle now. I've shifted it into a lifestyle to where it's like, I'm still posting some motivational stuff, but I'm not trying to motivate you. I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm not, you know, some mentor for you to follow and listen to. It's like, I am Isaac Mashman, and I want to be known as Isaac Mashman. I don't want to be labeled. I don't want to be, you know, put into some box. I don't like being in a corner. I'm in a corner right now. I don't like being in a corner. And yeah, man, I saw that, you know, it would make more sense if I did more of a shift towards lifestyle. You know, not keeping up with Isaac Mashman, like keeping up with the Kardashians, but more so, like, me setting the example for people to follow in, because I know that I'm going down a really great path.
Awesome, man. So lots of shifts in direction, lots of purpose, lots of positivity, obviously all the cool stuff that you've got going on for your music, and then obviously using social media more strategically. Mm-hmm. Then obviously the cool growth through your journey through high school, and obviously talking about the law of attraction. Mm-hmm. I nearly forgot, didn't I? Let's have a tea fact. I can't believe I haven't got here yet. But today's tea fact is the most cups of tea made in 1 hour is 1,848. And it was made by a team of 12 people. And this comes from topictea.com. Pretty cool.
You know what, Mike? I have a challenge for you. Whenever we meet in person, because it's only a matter of time before I fly up to Canada or we meet, let's break that record.
Okay. We'll get 13 people. We have to make 1,849.
We'll get all of the people in Lincoln Grove to participate in this, and we'll do a whole bunch of tea.
So we'll have to think about it beforehand, whether we stand in that line. There's lots of different things.
We'll plan that out. We'll cross that road when we get there. But we're gonna crush that record, my man. You've put too much time into the entire concept of tea with Mike to not break some Guinness World Record for tea.
It's cool.
You know that's a fact too. You'll be able to say Guinness World Record title holder of most cups of tea made.
Host you pretty badly. One life. So as we have a few minutes left, I'll flip the script, because I know you like, because you have a podcast, you're obviously probably pretty good at asking questions. What do you want to ask me?
When was the moment that you really understood what your purpose was with this? With Tea with Mike?
Good question. I don't know. So it started with an idea, because I kind of started it as a college project, and that was at the same sort of time period. And then someone mentioned the words Gary Vee, so I started watching him. I thought he was really weird at first because it wasn't how I was dialed in. I didn't really have a purpose. So a lot of what he said didn't resonate. And then as I watched more of his stuff and I got closer to graduation from the media and communications program that I was in, and also seeing how immersed people were in their digital devices and how I like to drink tea. There was all these pointers that kind of started stitching together. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I've shared this with you, but when I first started Tea with Mike, obviously it's a journey. So I did it on Instagram Live and Facebook, and there was lots of bumps in the road. And as I was doing this, because it started when I was in college, people that were my college classmates and even the instructors thought it was a terrible idea, and it was almost like the joke of the class for like a good 6 weeks of the semester. Someone would bring it up and people would start laughing. It was, and then I used it as in a project, and so that was interesting. Yeah.
But now looking back, you're glad that you didn't give up, right?
When that absolutely happened, 100%.
I'm glad you mentioned that, and I'm glad that you were vulnerable enough to mention that too, because. Man, I had something very similar happen to me in high school. I was over here with a clothing line, and looking back now, it was kind of obnoxious, the logo that I had for my clothing line, because it was a money sign, and I didn't use it in a way of, like, flashing money, but I just thought that it was a meaningful thing at the time. It was SBR, it was the money sign, and BR underneath it.
Okay.
I had a lot of people at school. You know, I ended up getting hoodies made. I went through a friend of mine at school. His parents owned a printing shop, and I was like, hey, let me go and get some hoodies. Paid him some money, got two hoodies made, got some t-shirts made. I was set. I was rocking my own merch, my own apparel. I still have those hoodies to this day too. They're with my grandmother. And nice. man, I remember so many people were joking. And then later on, you know, towards the end of the school year, I found out that a lot of people were making fun of me, you know, behind my back and joking about what I had going on. And then I all of a sudden come to my, you know, guidance counselor. And I'm like, I'm not going to college. I had a full ride. I could have, if I worked a little bit harder, I could have got a full ride scholarship to literally any college if I wanted to. Got accepted to University of Central Florida, Florida State.
Cool, and, dude.
I was just like, I'm not going to college. My mom was freaking out. My, you know, my counselors were freaking out. My friends were like, what? And yeah, I was like, I worked my entire life to go to a good college. And then I was like, nah, psych. You know, and, you know, at the time I had every single thing in my life telling me to quit, telling me to give up. I had a lot of family issues. I just kept powering forward. I don't know why. I just kept moving. I was like, I don't care. I'm going to go against the status quo. And I realize now that I had a lot of subconscious programming in my life. There is this magnet that my mom had on the fridge that I never understood when I was younger. And it was something that her own teacher gave her, one of her teachers when she was in middle school. And it was, to thine own self be true. And that's also a verse in the Bible. But it had a bunch of fish. And it had fish going in one direction. It was a cartoon. And then it had this one colored fish. It was like a purple fish. And it was going in the opposite direction of everybody else. And no. That's exactly what I did. And then it's like, I look back and I'm like, I'm glad that I didn't give up and I didn't give in. And then I see a lot of those same people who are making fun of me. You know, I'm a firm believer that if you hate, you're not going to get results. And it's like, they're doing the same exact thing that they were doing back then. You know, they aren't growing. They're doing the same daily things, not looking with a perspective of no limits, you know? And that's what you and I are doing. You know, we recognize that we're working towards something great. We might not know what that is yet, but we trusted in ourselves and trust the process enough to know that that purpose would be fulfilled.
And it's also quite interesting because we've come from definitely completely different paths, interests, and different journeys. I went through the more traditional route of going to college, and upon reflection, obviously there were classes and stuff that or waste of time, but at the time it was the right thing for me to do. Mm-hmm. And now what I've learned through the theater program that I did and the media and communications program, I'm taking almost like my favorite bits from each course and trying to mold it into something that I want to do.
Mm-hmm. That's the best thing to do, you know? And I'm also, I want to talk about mentorship really quick. You know, a lot of people are like, why do you study so much? Why do you listen to so many audios, man? There's a time where I would only listen to audios. I would not listen to any music. And honestly, I need to do the same exact thing now. But I'm all about saving time. You know, if we have one life to live, why are we going to spend 10 years making the same mistakes that someone else has already made? That's the entire point of mentorship, to learn from the mistakes of other people to save you time and get you better results quicker, faster, more efficiently. And so I've taken bits and pieces from all these different mentors and then put my own little Isaac twist and combine them up all into one, to where it's like, I'm taking the best from all these different people, just like you're doing with all these different college courses of like, okay, well, I really don't need to understand biology, but you can understand that. Okay. Well, for example, part of biology is understanding how humans behave and how humans work, you know, a little bit of psychology. You're not a psychologist, but you're able to use psychology for business or use psychology for an interview show. And you're able to take all these different things, and it's like you have one master, you know, concoction of success. Kind of an interesting. No, I don't like the way that I put that.
No. But I'll touch on how taking little bits from lots of different people. So as I'm going on my journey, obviously people, because more and more different types of people coming into my journey, and what I think I'm okay at doing is being super like receptive to like feedback and learning. And because ultimately it saves you time if you can lean on other people's expertise.
Mm-hmm.
So you may or may not know this, but I always appreciate it when we talk, even if it's only for a few minutes, because you always throw up different ideas. I write them down, I digest them, and then I come back to them, and then sometimes I integrate it into what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Which, Mike, I appreciate that, honestly. And see, that's humility. That's being humble enough to take constructive criticism and not think, oh, I have it all figured out. Because you don't. You know, as soon as you get, let your pride get in the way, that's when things fall out of shape. And I've had to learn that the hard way. There have been multiple moments where, you know, I might have let my pride speak for me, and I wonder why I got nipped in the butt. You know, I was like, because I was too prideful. I wasn't open to advice. I wasn't open to mentorship. I wasn't open to learning. And, you know, we should always be learning. We should always be susceptible to the advice of other people. But I will say, though, it is important to respect who you're taking advice from.
Yeah.
Sometimes that advice isn't really advice.
Well, in your best interest.
Right. Or that advice is coming from someone who has no credibility in the area that he's trying to give you advice on. You know, why are you going to listen to, I use the example of like, you're not going to learn how to make $1 million from someone who's homeless. You know, you're not going to listen to someone who's been divorced 25 times on how to have a happy marriage. You might be able to learn what not to do, but you're not going to learn what to do.
And it's going to be interesting, hopefully, as it continues to grow through hard work, time, and consistency, like how there's probably going to be, I'm going to be in these situations more and more of people trying to offer advice or suddenly want to become my friend.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, as you achieve more success, more people are going to come, you know, to you. And, you know, I'm not quite to that point yet. You're not to that point yet.
No, definitely not.
But yeah, that's something that's going to happen, you know, or you're going to have, you know, this is also for the person who's watching, who, you know, is afraid of what their family might say, you know, or people in their life trying to leech off of you. You know, you have to protect yourself. You have to protect your heart. You know, you know that if someone came to you and they genuinely needed your help, that you would help them. But at the same time, you can't do a whole bunch of different handouts because people have to work for themselves too. You know, people have to, just because they know you and are by association with you doesn't mean that, you know, you're obligated to necessarily help them out 100%, you know?
Absolutely, man. And then, so as we move towards the end of this fantastic episode, is the one piece of advice that you'd want to leave everyone with, or even one piece of advice for me, as we're connected more closely?
I was about to go get some coffee, but I'm out of coffee. yeah, and it's been on my mind the past couple of days, and be willing to recognize when you're going down the wrong path.
Okay.
Be open enough to recognize when you might not be doing everything that you should be doing. And then have the humility, again, speaking about humility, but also have the self-control and the discipline to get back on the right path. Because there are going to be moments on the journey where you have some momentum going and then all of a sudden you slip off. You might not be working as much. You might find yourself to get distracted. We're only human. That's going to happen. That's kind of the past week has been that for me. I've been like, man, I haven't gotten nearly as much done as I would have liked to get done. And I recognize that. And I'm like, well, shoot, Isaac, I need to kind of make a little bit of a turn. I need to make an adjustment. Life is all about, you know, adapting. So that's the one word of advice, a couple words of advice and one little thing.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks so much for your time. Thanks for being on the show. And I'm totally looking forward to continuing our friendship.
Absolutely. Likewise, Mike, it's been awesome to see your growth over the past couple of years, man. It honestly, and then you also, I want you to plug yourself right now. You getting on Tea with Gary Vee was huge. And I don't even think you quite realize how big that was for you.
I hopefully I'll see it over time. I'm just sticking to what I did before that moment and making sure I'm reaching out to every single person, building those relationships, seeing what I can do to help. And as long as I continue to go down that path, no matter how big it becomes.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, Mike, thank you for having me on, my man. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, man. So this was Isaac Mashman. Lots of fantastic things we talked about. You'll be able to see this episode at teawithmike.com. Thanks, Isaac.
Much love, Mike.
It's the Tea with Mike show.